to douse that light.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Vincent, that's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true.
That's right.
No, I'm just got back from baby. We've been rolling all night long. No, I'm just got back from baby. We've been rolling all night long. She come on like she love me, but I feel like something wrong.
Last week, we did a little experiment on a little thing I like to call Facebook. And we're trying to figure out what makes a viral post.
Right.
I think we tapped into something. And I was listening to the show today and admiring the sweet, sweet sound of my voice, which is like butter.
Sweet, creamy butter.
Sweet, creamy voice butter.
Not like good, thick gravy. That's the other show.
And I think we were onto something, which is making a personal connection. And when you reach out to someone and you take a hold of their heart and their soul, and you trigger a memory for them, I think they want to comment.
Yeah.
And what I love about the idea of there are two things I love. Okay, three. No, wait. There are multiple things I love about it. Why don't you keep track, and then you can tell me how many there are.
Okay.
One is it allows people to reflect for a second about, oh, yeah, that album or that movie or whatever.
Yeah.
And then another thing is I get to learn something about that person, right?
You get to learn a lot about that person, honestly.
Make a little connection, right? Find out if they have horrible taste. Not that any of our listeners have horrible taste. Of course,
no, because they listen to our show.
Right.
They've already got a couple of, you know, even if their taste is horrible, it's not so bad because it's, you know, balanced out by listening to the show.
They can't possibly have bad taste if they're listening to this. But one of the other things is it does form, and this may be redundant, but it does form a connection that says, hey, no matter how much we disagree about things, and Lord knows we all disagree about things.
No, we don't.
I was just listening to a podcast today that was talking about why is all the news negative? It's our lizard brain. You know, if you see a squiggly thing on the ground, you go snake instead of stick.
Yeah.
Right. Because snake will keep you alive, even if it is a stick. And if it happens to be a snake, it'll definitely keep you alive. And so that's why CNN, ESPN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, it's all BS as far as I'm concerned. Because their job, their mission in life is to deliver our eyeballs to their advertisers.
Yes.
Right? And if it bleeds, it leads. And negative news is what gets eyeballs delivered to their advertisers.
Yeah, I just had this conversation with my kids about a week ago.
And I love that I could say something nasty about Obama, or I could say something nasty about Trump, and I would get a bunch of people weighing. In fact, I was so bold as to post something about Chelsea Manning and got a ton of activity.
Yeah, you did.
On that post.
I just stayed out.
It was people disagreeing, right?
Yeah.
Or I could ask about something from your childhood or something you love or weigh in on something that you would like people to know about you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all positive because you'll get people from all stripes.
Yeah.
And all spots. I don't want to be, you know, not all feline animals have stripes. Not all horse type animals have stripes. Some have spots. I just want to make sure we're
inclusive. Is this like the whole rectangle square thing?
No idea.
Oh, okay.
That having been said, my average Facebook post gets, I would say, 5 to 10 comments, maybe 5 to 10 likes.
Mm-hmm.
And by average, I mean there are a lot that get 0. I get some that get 20.
Mm-hmm.
It hovers around 0 to 10. This one, which was posted intentionally to get eyeballs and activity, got 82 comments.
Yay. Now, bear in mind, positive eyeballs, not just eyeballs. Ooh. You know.
That's right. It was 82 comments. A lot of those comments were people responding to other people's comment about their favorite movie
mm-hmm.
from their childhood. And I'll be the first to apologize, maybe the second if you beat me to it. If anyone feels manipulated or like, oh, we were suckered into whatever. But you know what? The definition of manipulation, get somebody to do something that they later regret, right?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to regret commenting about their favorite movie. So that was more of a persuasion or an enrollment or a whatever, right? It's totally not manipulation. The fact that you and I, because of the number of comments, made about $50 a piece, that shouldn't weigh into whether people feel manipulated or not. I don't know if it's 50. It might.
No.
Facebook hasn't sent the checks out yet, but it might be like 48, 50. I don't know.
After taxes.
After taxes, it's $10.24. And then we have to pay our health insurance premiums. So that brings it down to $2.42.
We end up owing somebody like $25.37.
In that spirit, the thing that we have talked about a lot on this show is one of the reasons we do this is to engage with people.
Mm-hmm.
We love to interact with people. We want to interact with our listeners. And so we believe we may have stumbled upon a way to do that. So since that was so successful last week, we're going to do another one this week. And then we're just going to keep doing it.
That's right.
And, you know, if it causes you guys to engage with us or maybe we bring in some new listeners, awesome. I mean, that's one of the reasons we put the new button on our Facebook page.
Right.
For you to go give us your email address, because sometimes Facebook doesn't deliver our messages to you if we put it on our page.
Right.
And so we figure we can send you an email and you'll definitely get that. And then Mark Zuckerberg is out of the equation. And, you know, because we know Mark Zuckerberg's sitting there doing everything on Facebook. He's out of the equation. You get an email directly to your inbox. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to Facebook.com. Don't you dare panic. If you are not on Facebook, shoot us an email at nothingyouheardistrue@gmail.com. And we'll send you a link to get on that email list. Without further ado, I don't even know what ado is. I'm not sure we've had any ado at all so far. But if we have, there will be no more.
We've had a little ado.
A little ado. Well, we'll have no further ado.
That's right.
All right. All the ado that we've already had, that's all there's going to be.
So there'll be no ado that we do so well.
Exactly. This week's topic, which some of you may already know about because we posted it earlier this week, is what is your favorite band from your childhood? Another nostalgic sort of learn something about people sort of question. I think that the first answer was given by the Don't Panic, one of the Don't Panic hosts. And since I know I didn't do it, I know it must have been you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And the question was, does Cash count as a band?
That's right. That was me.
Yeah.
I did one of those things where, like, I wrote a comment, and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm signed in as Don't Panic.
So, oh, yeah. So would you say Cash was your favorite musical act as a child?
I would say as a child, yes, because it was the first music that I was exposed to on a large scale that, then it became all I wanted to listen to. And we're talking like elementary school. Oh, you know, yeah. I used to get a couple of kids we went to school with used to make fun of me because I liked him. And it was like, you know, because, you know, kids are assholes.
Those particular kids are now adult assholes, I'm sure.
But yeah, I would say definitely that. Yeah, absolutely.
How were you introduced to Cash?
It's funny because I remember this day like it was yesterday. My dad calls me into the living room. Yeah. Well, he was a little more articulate back then.
Oh, get on in here in the living room.
He just took the big, this was the 1970s, kids. He took the big, gigantic soup can ear goggles, you know. And here I'm like this little 6-year-old kid.
Were they connected to the gramophone?
Yes, they had the spirally cord and everything. And he puts these gigantic headphones on me. And then he drops the needle to the Folsom Prison Blues concert.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Within about a minute, I was hooked. I listened to the whole album. And I just remember him sitting over there just happy as shit. You know? And I was hooked from then on, dude.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Bet there's rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. If they freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
I got to make myself a note. Hook up my kids' headphones to some goddamn Cash. I don't think I've done enough of that.
My kids enjoy them tremendously, and one of my nephews is actually within the past couple of months has discovered him, so to speak, and he's just eating it up.
Almost every single thing I've introduced to my girls, they love.
Mm-hmm.
Almost. In fact, I can't even think of anything I've introduced to them that they didn't like. And so the other day, my third grader asked my wife why every band doesn't sound like the White Stripes.
That's some Zen shit right there.
Like, think what a boring world it would be if every band were excellent.
That's kind of like the Black Keys. If every band sounded, you know, God bless them, but it'd be great if there's more bands like them, but then they wouldn't be as awesome as they are.
My sixth grader shares an iTunes account with me. So the phone, I gave her one of my old phones, and so the music on that one is the same as the music on mine. The other day, she's like, Dad. Well, she calls me Dee Dee.
Mm-hmm.
That's another story. But she goes, Dee Dee, oh my God, there's a song. You've got to hear it. Here. She gives me her headphones, and I put them on. I'm like, all right. She starts playing it, and it's Everlasting Light by the Black Keys. I was like, that's a pretty good song. She's like, that's a band called the Black Keys. They're so awesome. You should hear more of their music. I go, sweetie, I've heard all their music.
That's right. Love is the coal that makes this train roll.
My next girl will be nothing like my ex-girl.
That's my motto. I try to make them different every time.
I do love Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm.
I do love me some Johnny Cash. We had from Marie Davis. Well, I don't know. She may be one of the ones we picked up off of the ads I ran.
That's what I love about this.
Hotel California by the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the nice things is people put the band and then they would put the album,
mm-hmm.
which I love because not only do you get, this was my favorite band, but you get why. And it's like, this is, if we had asked favorite album, we would have gotten similar answers.
Mm-hmm.
Something about, and you've done this on your page before where you just, talk about like what is the album that's just done it for you.
Yeah.
And it's just something about, you know, they say smell is one of those things that will draw memories like nothing else.
It's the biggest one supposedly.
You smell the perfume your mother used to wear, you know? And it draws back all these memories. Well, a close second has to be sound, right? Music. And while I'm not I liked the Eagles when I was a kid, and I got older, I matured, and I realized 90% of their stuff sounded the same.
Yeah.
I can relate to that Hotel California stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles. Don Henley, Glenn Frey, Dirty Laundry.
I was more of a fan of the Joe Walsh era, and then...
Heart of Rock and Roll is the beat.
No, that's Huey Lewis.
Right, like Huey Lewis, he was part of the Eagles, right?
Nothing you just heard is true.
The News. Do you think if Huey Lewis had quit the News, like would they still be the News, or would they get like Jeremy West in the News? Claude Ledbetter in the News. Anyway. Rising up. Back on the street, did my time, took my chances, went the distance, now I'm back on my feet, just a man and the will to survive. So many times it happens too fast, you trade your passion for glory. Don't lose your grip on the dreams of the past. You might fight just to keep them alive. It's the eye of the tiger. It's the cream of the fight. Wait, cream of the fight? Is that what they actually say that? Rising up to the challenge of our rivals. Doop, 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 doop. And the last known survivor stalks his prey in the night. and he's watching us all with the eye of the tiger.
That one goes out to you, Superfan James.
Here's a long distance dedication to a man, a family man.
That's right.
Who has decided that his passion in life, to a family man who was once a small child, a small boy in LaPorte, Indiana,
that's
who
right.
heard a song on the radio, a song that inspired him to greatness, a song that would guide his life until he got married. And then there would be no inspirational songs. There would only be marriage and a child.
Yes. And, so, and whatever her song is becomes his song.
And so, because you have to listen to her song each and every day, all day long, we'd like to dedicate this to you, Superfan James. And we would like you to remember how once you had the eye of the tiger. All right. So, my buddy from France, who is the father in the French family that my sixth grader went to visit, U2, which is funny because U2 has a funny place in my psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And I might as well tell everybody my band from my childhood. And it's funny because saying childhood is weird because I think I was probably, I don't know, what, 13? I mean, yeah. You know the band, right?
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
And so I'm sure I was 13. I guess that counts.
Yeah, it does.
Because there's no other band that has quite the staying power, the longevity, or the thread through my formative years as the band known as, I don't know if they're known as this, but I like to call them ZZ Top.
that little band from Texas?
That little band from Texas. Don't you know? You got to go to that home out on the range. They got a lot of nice girls. Ah! So my point being, they were not my favorite band growing up, U2, but I had not heard any of their music. Like, I was not exposed to U2 at all until I went to Europe on my exchange trip, my senior year of high school.
Right.
And that's all they were playing. On the bus, all the other kids, all the everything. Everywhere I went, it was all U2 all the time. Mm-hmm. So it formed this. I was like, wow, that band's kind of good. I kind of like that. So it was sort of the soundtrack to my trip to Europe, which sort of instilled and now my European friend says U2 from his childhood. So they were big in Europe, apparently. It's almost like they were European.
You'd think. They were big here, too, on the alternative scene.
His wife's name is Sandrine, and the Pretenders was her band.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned Brass in Pocket.
Yeah, a lot. That was like their biggest hit ever. They were decent. I mean, Chrissy Hynde was a pretty cool guitar player and had a pretty distinct voice.
Mm.
I'll give her that. The Pretenders are a pretty important band, and they're not my favorite, but they were an important. It's not about me this time, but they were a very important band in, you know, rock and roll. So I can see that.
Let's make it about you. Chuck Baxter said Pink Floyd. How did you feel about Pink Floyd back in the day?
I hated The Wall. But as I got older and found out there were other Pink Floyd albums, I remember and thinking, why did The Wall make such an impact when there's so many other better albums? And I figured out why. The Wall came out at the peak of the decline of the disco era. And if you listen to The Wall, there is a disco beat that runs through a lot of that album.
No doubt.
And no, Pink Floyd.
Garbage.
Smash Mouth. No, but seriously, I think that's why. I think that's why that album caught on so well.
It was an easy transition from disco to whatever.
Yeah. But no, I honestly fucking love Pink Floyd.
I do too. And we had the, I think I said this on the show. I don't need to repeat it. Well, anyway, needs a funny word. But the, I had the 45 of Another Brick in the Wall.
Yeah, you did.
And I don't remember what was on the B side. That's how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like Another Brick in the Wall part one or something or two.
Probably.
But I got to college and people are playing the whole album and I'm going, what's that? I'm like, who is that? And they're like, Pink Floyd. I was like, no, it's somebody covering Pink Floyd because that's not Another Brick in the Wall. And they're like,
right.
Which I think was a big part of the reason I was not well liked in college. So while I appreciate you introduced me to ZZ Top and making me a ZZ Top connoisseur. By the time I got to college, nobody else was into ZZ Top. They were all into Pink Floyd and Rush.
I failed you. I'm sorry.
Oh, God, am I glad nobody has said Rush.
I almost put Rush, but I didn't.
Thank you for not putting Rush. Oh, Lord.
One day we couldn't possibly squeeze it into one episode, but I could probably convert you into liking Rush.
I could spend a whole episode on reasons I hate Rush. So
I would set you down like Malcolm McDowell in Clockwork Orange. You'd have those things like on your ears. And I would be playing your ears.
Fucking paper clips on my ears, keeping them open. Wow, that would probably kill me. Just real quick, Rod Grumpy said Led Zeppelin, which got no problem with that one.
No.
It's fine with me.
None whatsoever.
John Leslie, man, he was
he was the Led Zeppelin motherfucker. Yeah,
that's right. Jeff Niemeyer said AC/DC.
Yeah.
Jeff's my buddy from Iowa. And I could see that. I could see him loving AC/DC. And then my lovely wife said Duran Duran. That's an interesting one.
I had to do the math on that one. Cause I'm like, okay, I guess that counts as childhood. The earlier mention gets as a childhood. I'm sure that counts.
Well, I'm not sure which direction you're going there.
I'm referring to age. But then, yeah, Duran Duran was when we were in high school. So technically, yeah, that would be childhood.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I mean, my ZZ Top was pretty much high school. So I thought the math you were trying to do is... Duran Duran. Really? Hungry Like the Wolf. I'm not so sure that her love of Duran Duran is like a Hungry Like the Wolf sort of love.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more of a, there was a song in a movie.
I have two arguments to defend Duran Duran.
Let's hear them.
Power Station.
That's a band, right?
And a couple of dudes from Duran Duran were in Power Station.
Oh, got it.
The other thing too, you got to remember, your wife is a girl. I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's right.
So Duran Duran, I've heard songs of theirs I like.
Mm-hmm.
Hungry Like the Wolf is not one of them. Apparently, the Simon, what's his name, guy is really good looking. The lead singer?
Oh, Simon Le Bon? Yeah. Yeah. I could see where he would be considered good looking.
It's funny you knew his last name.
I'm not even going to deny it. I do like Duran Duran for various reasons. And I'm not a girl.
you dirty and sweet old man. When you swing in the week, you got the teeth of the Hydra up on you. You dirty, sweet, and you're my girl.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic radio show. Something occurred to me during the break.
What's that?
As we are recording this, President Barack Hussein Obama is still our beloved president. When we air this show on Sunday, the 22nd of January, 2017... our beloved President Barack Hussein Obama will be our former President Barack Hussein Obama. And our new dear leader will be President Donald J. Trump.
What's the J stand for?
J.
No, it stands for Yavol.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Stands for Yavol.
Sorry. Yeah.
So I guess I just want to tell everyone, happy inauguration, because this is apparently now the inauguration show.
That's so right.
Happy inauguration. Hope you all had a pleasant, joyful inauguration. Support the troops.
I still got to put up my tree. My
Your inauguration tree?
That's right.
Well, as long as you support the troops.
That's right.
I just want to say today, like every day, all gave some gave all, and support the troops. That's all I'm saying.
Hakuna Matata.
And you can't handle the truth.
That's right.
So far, though, I mean, nothing has, the world hasn't blown up. People aren't being rounded up and taken to concentration camps so far, as far as I can tell.
I haven't seen the big trucks and the jackbooted thugs.
However, we can't tell the future. As I said, We're recording this last week. But what we can do is we can read headlines and then irresponsibly interpret them.
Yay!
So here's the first one. Senegal troops poised to enter Gambia. First of all, I assume those are African countries because I've never heard of them.
I thought Gambia was in Lord of the Rings.
Gambia. I thought it was on Yo Gabba Gabba.
Or it's a type of yogurt. Yo Gabba Gabba.
Hey, kids. We're going to Gambia. Yay. Jack Black comes out.
Gambia, the little brown one. And he's like.
Yeah. The little brown one. Yeah, and now yeah. Jack Black's going to dance for you. Oh, yeah.
It's almost time to go. Oh, but first, God, we have children.
At the risk of, of course, I've heard of Senegal and I've heard of Gambia.
Right, right.
You know, I was joking. I don't know where they are. I couldn't find them on a map. Well, I couldn't name one city in those countries.
Prior to the Bush administration, most people couldn't find Iraq on a map. So,
true. So, see, he did provide a service to the American people.
Yes, he did.
This headline could have read, one African country's troops poised to enter another African country's troops. And it could have been written in the 80s.
And that's about as much as we care.
Yeah.
If it would have been one country loaded with oil is prepared to invade another country loaded with oil.
I'm not sure they're loaded with oil. If they were loaded with oil, we'd probably know where they are.
That was my point.
If they were loaded with oil, it'd probably be this. U.S. troops poised to enter region where two countries are fighting over shit that doesn't matter.
Support the troops.
Support the troops. But I've been going to BBC to get these headlines.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, BBC is the British Broadcasting something that starts with a C. And
oh, I thought it was I would have fun editing myself.
This week's headlines brought to you by a Okay, this next headline comes from BBW.
Wait.
What?
Now I'm listening suddenly.
Russia and Turkey in joint airstrikes. Turkey, all right, just so we're clear on this. Turkey is a country half in Europe and half in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And the part that's in Asia is in the Middle East. It borders Syria and it borders Iraq, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Turkey is a member of NATO. Okay. NATO was formed specifically to provide a balance of power against the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, Russia and its current leader, Vladimir Putin, aside from riding bears without a shirt, Putin has been interested in challenging NATO's power and reducing it if he can.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Not only all of that geopolitical shit, but even if you don't know all that, Turkey shot down one of Russia's fighters about 6 months ago.
We did a show on it.
We did a show on it. And now, yeah, here at the Don't Panic Radio Show, we provide hard-hitting journalism. And so we did an entire show on Turkey shooting down one of...
Hard-hitting irresponsible journalism.
Yeah. I just think it's a little... You know, I think when we did the show, it was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Turkey shot down, like NATO shot down... A NATO country shot down a Russian fighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's World War III.
Yeah.
And now I'm going, holy shit. Russia and Turkey are cooperating on airstrikes. It's World War III. I'm like, I don't know what to think anymore. I think we're entering a whole new era of cooperation with Russia and lack of cooperation with countries like Germany, Great Britain, France. I mean, they had their turn, right?
That's right.
It's other countries' turn now. All right, next headline. Obama says justice was served on Manning. Now, Peyton Manning retired over a year ago. Well, not over a year ago, nearly a year ago, after winning the Super Bowl. And I don't know if he means, like, because he won the Super Bowl as his last game, like that was justice. If that's true, I don't know why he waited so long to say something.
Well, you know, he was a busy man.
Not for long. What does a president do? I mean, after they retire and they don't have a wife who wants to run for president. Oh, he might. I mean, Michelle might run. But let's say Michelle doesn't want to run. Let's say Michelle's like, I'm not interested in running. Barack's not, I think, it's funny. You know, I look at Clinton, Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. and I think he had two things on his mind when he was done, when he left office. I think one was, now I can get all the tail I want any fear of repercussion, right?
That's right.
And I think the other thing on his mind was, it would be kind of cool to have my wife be president, so I don't want to get so much tail and have it be so reckless that it ruins that, right? So, you know, he sets up the Clinton Global Initiative, the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton this and that, which gets him all these foreign donations. It gets all this clout and influence. It keeps Hillary in the public eye. So he's got all that shit to deal with, right?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't win. And he's like, all right, well, Joe and I will have to delay our party in the White House together to some other time, or maybe we'll never get to do it. But at least I don't have to pay it. I don't have to worry about that bullshit anymore. And in fact, the Clinton Global Initiative just announced that they're done. They're folding.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're like, Hillary can't be president. Fine. I'm done.
That's a fuck this shit. I'm out.
Fuck this shit. It's fuck this shit o'clock.
That's right.
So I don't know what Bill will do. I don't know what Hillary will do. I don't imagine they'll stay married. I can't imagine why they would.
Yeah.
But I look at, and I'm sure Bill was going to stick it in anything that's not moving. In fact, if I am ever in earshot of Bill Clinton, I'm going to fucking put duct tape over my hole because he might stick it in there.
That's right.
But, and I can't blame him. I mean, if you were president, widely popular president, widely considered to be good looking, everybody knows you got a crooked thing. And you had that kind of juice, wouldn't you?
See, I thought you were going to come at that from another other angle. And go, and I don't blame you. Have you seen my hole?
That is true, but I don't want to put that out there.
That's right.
Because I don't. Next thing you know, I got a line at my door. People knocking, looking at their watches. Like, when's my turn? My point being, I don't think they're going to stay married. I don't see why they would. Maybe they'll stay married, but I don't see why he would continue to hide his philandering. Let's say.
Yes, philandering is the word for it. Yes.
Barack Hussein Obama, on the other hand, I think, well, and I'll be really disappointed if I'm not right about this, but I see him and Michelle as like the stereotypical couple that like totally loves each other and will stay together forever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him as even wanting to get any on the side. Would you? I mean, look at her.
I'd be wrecking that shit like the Edmund Fitzgerald, man. I'm just saying.
Nice. You can take your time. You can come up with something else if you want. I mean, that was okay.
But. Okay, hold on. All right, let's see. I would be like hammering that shit like a loose floorboard. I'd be banging that shit like a squeaky screen door. I'd be taking it to the hole like Michael Jordan.
There you go.
And I'll stop on that one.
Yeah. Why would you do anything to risk it? I mean.
Yeah. How are you gonna come back from that?
That, and she's interesting to talk to and smart, right? So.
Well, and that goes a long way with me.
I know it does. She got personality.
They're smart.
Personality go a long way.
Mm-hmm. And where the personality stops, the Oakland booty takes over. So,
my general question is, what's Barack going to do next? He's probably, unless Michelle decides that she wants to run for something, he has no more responsibility to whatever. I do believe he wants to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I've said it at least 104 times. This is our 104th episode, right?
Yes.
So I've said it at least 104 times. I disagree with his approach, but I do not even for a second question his motives.
He'll probably end up getting more shit done that he promised way back when than he did while he was a president.
Well, I hope not. The reason I say I hope not is... I believe he wants to make the world a better place. Fewer hungry people, less crime, just in general, lifting up the human race, right?
Yes.
The things that he promised and the things he said he would do, I don't believe will accomplish that. I think that's my point. Whereas a lot of liberals, who I count you among, In a very respectful way.
As well I am. So yeah. That's cool.
I believe that if he had been able to do what he had promised and what he said he was going to do, if he had not been supposedly stopped by the Republicans, he would have accomplished those things, and that would have lifted the human race. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So part of me is like, well, I wish he had gotten that done, because I would love to be proven wrong, right? Right?
Like, just once.
Like, I'd love to sit here and go, shit, I didn't know socialism could do that. Damn. Okay. I stand corrected. I'm a socialist now. Heil Stalin, right, or whatever.
I, for one, welcome our socialist overlords.
That's right.
I see him, though, doing a lot. He's going to be ubiquitous, even more so once he's no longer president, then, because he's going to be everywhere, dude. He's going to be on every single show ever. They're going to have him on The View. He's going to be on that one show where the other show where the four ladies all sit around and talk in the morning. He's going to be on every single nighttime talk show there is. He's going to be on it. Him and Will Smith are going to be in Independence Day 3.
Right.
Where Bill Pullman's going to get up and start delivering a speech, and then Obama's going to get up and, like, do, like, the face push.
Yeah.
Push him down. And then he's going to do some serious hardcore rap, and he's going to drop that mic.
He's going to go, look, and Bill Pullman.
Look. President Pullman.
I appreciate where you're coming from, but flying fighters up to the mothership and blowing them up, thus eradicating the alien threat, while it might sound like a good idea, will not eradicate the alien threat in a way that I think is consistent with our values as American people. What we need to do is engage with the aliens. And we need to offer them hope. We need to offer them a future that we can all believe in. And if we can talk to them while conducting bombing raids against them, not with manned aircraft, mind you, but unmanned drones, if we can drop more bombs than my predecessor, then I think we can engage the aliens in a way that I think is consistent with the future. And I was just telling Michelle, Ah. And she said, Brock, don't you get up there and make a fool of yourself like you usually do. You guys, you know what I'm talking about, right?
And this is when Wanda Sykes gets up there. Brock, don't you be embarrassing yourself.
And as Michelle Obama, Wanda Sykes.
That's right.
What? You could have got Halle Berry. You got Wanda Sykes. Sit down, Denzel. You're just playing the president. You're not actually the president. All right. Next headline. The CIA releases 13,000 pages of declassified documents. Among those documents, by the way, I cheated a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I read parts of the article. There was a whole group of documents about UFOs and a bunch of documents that talked about testing well-known psychics. And there was one test that they did where they had somebody go in a different room and draw pictures, like sketches.
Mm-hmm.
They had the psychic draw like the same sketch. Now, I don't know what the conditions were. I don't know if they said just draw whatever comes to mind. Or if they
probably did like the triangle, square, wavy line test is what it probably was.
No, there was actually, they showed some of the pictures in the article I saw.
Oh, okay.
One was like a like some grapes, like on a vine.
Hmm.
And another was like the solar system. So I don't know if they said draw some grapes, or if they just said draw some fruit, or if they just said draw something. I don't know what they did. But somehow this psychic dude, and I looked at the two pictures, like the two pictures of grapes. So even if they said, we're going to draw a bunch of grapes, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at the two pictures, like you can see, like there are three grapes on the side, two grapes right here, and then underneath that is like two grapes here, and then three grapes underneath that. So even if they did say draw, like if they just said draw something and he drew grapes,
mm-hmm.
like if he had drawn like the worst picture of grapes I've ever seen and the guy in the other room drew grapes, I'd be like, that shit's freaky.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm guessing they did, that's all the article I read, I'm going to be irresponsible.
As well you should be.
The guy in the other room, they just said he's going to draw a, what do you call that? The grapes hanging off of a vine. That group of
a bunch of grapes.
I'm gonna draw, but how do you differentiate a bunch of grapes from a like just a bunch of grapes?
It's in your inflection.
You see, you mean a bunch of grapes, like a whole lot of grapes, or do you mean a bunch of grapes, like some grapes hanging off a vine?
Mean like a bunch of grapes.
Oh yeah, that's true. A whole bunch. That's you right. got to put a whole bunch that's in right. front of it. Anyway, so. Even if he said, okay, the dude in the other room, he's going to draw a bunch of grapes. You draw a bunch of grapes. Let's see. We're going to compare them. They looked super similar. And even if the other guy in the other room said, I'm going to draw the solar system, you draw the solar mm-hmm. system. Like there's a million different ways you could draw that. And they looked similar.
Yeah.
This is the CIA. This isn't like a TV show that said we're going to do some weird yeah. stuff. It's the CIA. And I'm going, why didn't we know about this?
Because we're not psychic.
And then the UFOs. I didn't read anything in the article about the UFOs, but it talked about like documentation of UFO sightings.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is all these documents were hacked or whatever, right?
No, the CIA released them.
They're
declassified.
Okay. So the CIA, yeah. they released all these declassified documents.
You can go on the internet. You can go to the CIA's website, and you can look at them.
No, the CIA needs to come to my website, which I'm sure they do when I'm looking for BBWs. And
you know what I forgot to mention last week?
Hmm.
We were talking about the 16 intelligence agencies or 17 intelligence agencies.
Yes.
Or whatever. I'm like, 17 intelligence agencies? Why didn't that freak me out? Why didn't I go, why do we have 17 intelligence agencies? Why do we need 17? I mean, what are they?
While I was editing this show, I'm like, God damn, 17? We need 17 intelligence agencies?
And part of the criteria of whether to believe something is that they all have to agree.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't get 17 of my friends to agree on anything.
You can't. You can't
got 17.
You can't get your daughters to agree on what to put on a pizza. You're going to get 17 intelligence agencies to agree on one thing.
That's why one of the most brilliant thing pizza places did was allowing you to order half something and then half the other.
You're damn right.
You try to put 17 different somethings on that one pizza. You're like, all right, I want one slice, half pepperoni and half sausage. The next slice, I want half banana pepper, half black olive mushroom. And then they're like, wait, what? You want pie slice or party slice? Oh, that reminds me. I got a free pizza the other day because I ordered it, and I ordered it pie sliced. They delivered it party sliced, which I didn't know that's what it was called. That's where they do it in rectangles.
Right.
And I got a phone call, and it said, hey, we just realized you asked for pie sliced, and we delivered party sliced. Your pie slice pizza is on its way. And like it showed up, and I was like, now I got two pizzas. Hang on. I'm going to check my Facebook.
Oh, yeah. What you got?
We'll see how we did. We'll see how we did. Jump on here. And turns out that we have a bunch of people who have told us what their favorite band was from their childhood.
Awesome.
Andy Thompson said Judas Priest.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Stamper said The Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling we'll get a few of those because I have a lot of old friends. Oh, my niece Jessica said Backstreet Boys. And then she said, duh, LOL. And it is a duh because she still has a bunch of Backstreet Boys posters hanging in the room that she slept in at my grandparents, her grandparents, my parents. Melinda Kaiser says The Stones. That's respectable.
Mm.
Our black listener took a break from talking on the CB, and he said it's a tie between the Beatles, the Jackson 5, and Earth, Wind, and Fire. We have got to get him on the show.
Right? he can get a hold of us while he's on the road. And we can,
yeah.
We can do a whole CB episode.
We know the language, Breaker Breaker. Another mutual friend says The Doors, Billy Idol, and The Talking Heads.
I like the heads.
I like the head, too. No, in college, I'd say my junior and senior year, The Doors were pretty important.
You were huge into The Doors in college.
Yes. Yes, I was. Aunt Connie says The Beatles, The Beach Boys, and anything Motown.
Mm.
She saw The Beatles at the Indiana State Fairgrounds.
Oh, yeah?
See them. Yeah.
Cool.
She has the ticket. And my brother-in-law, Justin, framed it for her along with, her ticket, along with he found on the internet the poster from that show and printed that out on nice paper and, framed all that.
That's cool.
It was pretty cool. So keep them coming. We'll do this again next week.
Yep.
We'll come up with a question for y'all. And you know what? Find out if we choose yours to talk about. And tune in. You know? Okay, that's enough of that. Hey, when you get done listening to this one, jump on over to the Do It Indie. Wait, hang on. Not the Do It Indie. DoItIndieRadioHour.com.
Right.
And check out that podcast because it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. Nothing you just heard was true.
Got a letter just this morning. It was postmarked Omaha. It was typed and neatly written, offering me this better job. Better job and higher wages, expenses paid and a car. But I'm on TV here locally and I can't quit. I'm a star.
on TV, a grinning, wearing bill spools and a hat. It's a kiddie show, and I'm a hero of the younger set. I'm the number one attraction ever, supermarket parking lot. I'm the king of Kansas City. No thanks, Omaha, thanks a lot. Kansas City star, that's what I are. The old lead lady, you ought to see my car. Drive a big old Cadillac with wire wheels. I got rhinestones on the spokes. I've got credit down at my grocery store, and my barber tells me jokes. And I'm the number one attraction, never supermarket parking lot. I'm the king of Kansas City. No thanks, Omaha, thanks a lot. Kansas City star, that's what I are. Your little lady, you ought to see my car. Drive a big old Cadillac with wire wheels. I got rhinestones on the spokes. I've got credit down at my grocery store, and my barber tells me jokes. I'm the number one attraction, never supermarket parking lot. I'm the king of Kansas City. No thanks, Omaha, thanks a lot. Stay tuned, we're gonna have a Popeye cartoon in a minute.